glory of God. I've been talking about the glory of God most of my ministry, and I've never been so close to seeing God move in an awesome way with His glory than we are right now. And of course, we've learned that God is up to something, and we want to be in on the something that He's working on. But too many situations and happenings where we are seeing the hand of God move, we're seeing Him do some things in preparation. He's changing lives and getting us ready for what we're going to see happen on this border area. And in the history of this church, there have been times when we've experienced the glory of God. At times, God, like a tide, God would move in and then He'd move back out. But this time, when God moves us in, it's going to move us into a much deeper realm than what we've ever been, what we've ever experienced. And that's why we're in this preparation time, not only in repentance, getting us our lives straightened up, but getting us involved in the knowledge of knowing God and what that's going to do in our individual lives. So bottom line is, we are created to be in the glory of God. That's God's heart. He wants us to live and to walk in His glory. And we're standing today on a place where God is speaking to every one of us. And He's telling us once more, I'm going to manifest myself to you. And you can grab that promise and hang on to it, because it's going to happen. Amen. Now, we've experienced in the past where we've departed from lifeless religion. We've chosen to follow the Spirit of God, and God has rewarded us for that, and it has been glorious. But now we're going to experience a move that is taking place where we've been in God's presence, but we're moving into an even greater realm of His presence and His kingdom. So this is an exciting time to be alive in Christ. And don't let the enemy cloud your mind or your spirit, because he'll be right after you, trying to destroy this in your life. But we're moving into a deeper realm of the supernatural, and it's not going to be pastor and the elders moving in the supernatural. It's going to be all of us. And I've told you all this for years, and this time is here right now. And that's what the movie was about Friday night, showing how simple it is just to trust God and follow God and do what He tells you to do. Amen? So I think we've learned firsthand then that the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the word or the law gives life. And that's what God wants us to do, bring life into the hearts of people. And we're not after the religious movement that has been in this earth for hundreds of years. We're into a movement of the kingdom of God. Isn't it strange that that's the first thing that Jesus began to preach, was the kingdom of God? But so many churches leave that out of the picture. It's like, oh, well, he's talking about heaven, Well, he's not. He's talking about a move here on this earth that's going to impact this earth. So we want to be in on it. But then last week, we were reminded also the purpose of Jesus coming. And He said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. And we need to grasp that. God wants you to have life inside of you, not just feel so downtrodden or depressed or whatever. There's the life of Jesus Christ living in you. There's the life of the Spirit of God living in you. And there's God Himself living in you. And even His kingdom is inside of you. So you ought to be walking around all bloated, but you're full of it. You're full of God, And that's the way God wants you. And now he's going to put you to work. And the anointing is here. We have to have the anointing to do the work of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to take us just like we are. He's going to lead us and teach us the things that we need to go do. And he wants to see us become the overcomers that the Scripture talks about. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus, and we need to demonstrate that to a world outside that doesn't know Jesus, let alone that they can become overcomers. So I want you to listen to this. Unless we're walking in the Spirit, we will not find quality of life. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we will not find quality of life. Oh, we can find religion. It's easy to find. But we're not going to be walking in a quality of life. The abundant life comes by following after the Spirit of God. So we need to lay hold of the Holy Spirit and get right up close to him and just go everywhere he tells us to go. Now, let's look at Jesus for a minute. Jesus had a relationship, of course, with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then at the first front part of his ministry, he was led by this same Spirit of God into the wilderness. And the reason he was led into the wilderness was to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit, how to flow with the Spirit of God. And when he came out of the wilderness, Scripture says that he came out in the power of the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, but he came out of the wilderness with the power of the Spirit. And that's what God wants us to have today. He wants us to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in his life, and if by this wilderness experience he was empowered by this same Holy Spirit, then how much more do we need it? In fact, we ought to be desperate for it. Let God know how desperate we are, because we know apart from the Spirit of God, we can't do anything. Amen? And so we need to hunger for that experience and then follow it. Because the key in this situation is that Jesus totally abandoned his life to the Spirit of God. He totally abandoned his life to the Spirit of God. And it's the same experience of abandonment. We can do the same thing and just allow ourselves to surrender into the next realm that God wants to lead us into. So it's during the transition that we become positioned to the transport, to be transported into something fresh, something new. And I don't know about you, but I get tired of just church. Same old church, same old everything. But God has come into this church. He's put life in our praise and worship. We've been a faithful church in praise and worship from day one. But God has brought now a freshness about our praise and worship. And why is that? Because more and more people are catching the vision of what praise and worship does. And it moves us into a deeper relationship with God. And of course, we're led by the Spirit of God into this relationship. So each one of us needs to make absolutely sure that we have abandoned ourselves to God, to the Holy Spirit, and that we are hungering after him, hungering after the things of his kingdom that are to come. And you know, it should be apparent to all of us that the only one who can bring revival or renewal into our lives is the Spirit of God. I mean, there is no one else that can do that. Preachers can preach, teachers can teach, but without the anointing of the Spirit of God, it means nothing. And so or you can get some education out of it, maybe some head knowledge, but you can't get the power, and that's what we need is the power. So everything else that we possess as human beings, you know, we can do good things, we can do great things, but they are void of eternal rewards. And that's what we want to work toward, is having those rewards in heaven when we get there. And, you know, all you have to do is just do what God says, and He'll get you prepared for that. Amen? All right. So, God has allowed us to play around in the baby pool of the kingdom, but now He's calling us to jump into these rivers of living water and be carried by the streams of living water, which represents the Holy Spirit. So, you have to purpose in your heart, though, that you want to go with the flow. And that's the flow that you're going to have to get into. It's time for us to grow up and become the sons of God, like the Scripture says. We've been babies enough, and now it's time to get into the adulthood of sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, have you ever thought about God and His relationship with us? Just how interested God is in seeing us obtain victory in our lives every day. But when you stop and think about it, that's who God is. God wants us to be victorious, not losers in this world. And He's provided everything that we need to become, what I said a while ago, more than conquerors, but be victorious in everything that we set our hands to. And as soon as you get that down in your spirit and begin to walk in this, victory will lead you to walk with the Spirit of God and become the sons of God. And then as a son, you become a legal heir, entitled to inherit all the things that the Father has come to bring to you. And when I'm talking about sons here, we're talking about sons and daughters. Okay, I didn't leave you all out. God didn't leave you out. But the Scripture did. No, the Scripture just uses the word sons, but it means sons and daughters. So you're right there in the middle of it. Now, not everybody who claims to be a Christian, though, represents sons of God. And mainly because they don't follow in obedience. They don't follow the Spirit of God. And what the Spirit of God is after is to lead us into an intimate relationship with God. And it's only in that kind of relationship our lives really going to change. And where we can begin to see powerful things happen in our lives as we touch the lives of other people. Now, we allow the Spirit of God to lead us into this relationship. And then our sonship, our legal rights are manifested. And then we learn how to stand in power and authority in behalf of God. And you see, that's a privileged position that we can stand in. Just think, I mean, have you ever thought about it? You know, when you're laying hands on someone and God is doing the healing, not you, but God is, how privileged you ought to be able to just stand there and lay hands and watch God. Amen. And really, that's what happens. I mean, it's not anything that you can do except maybe share a few words of prayer or a few words of encouragement. But when your focus is on seeing God do what God can do, then everything changes. And it's no longer about you, but it's about Him and what He's come to do. So, what does all of this have to do with the glory of God? Well, actually, it has to do everything about the glory of God. Let's look at Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So you see what I've been talking about, the relationship, being led by the Spirit. All of these have to do with the glory of God. Paul is talking about the same glory that we're experiencing. And it's the same glory that was manifested in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, it was called the Shekinah glory that Moses and Aaron and those people experienced. And the Shekinah glory means the presence of the Lord with us and dwelling among His people. Now that's what we want. The glory is the presence of the Lord with us, dwelling among His people. Just like this morning, I mean, the first prayer that we prayed before we got ready to worship, I mean, the presence of God just swept through this place. I don't know if you felt it or sensed it, but it was here, and it's still here. The Spirit of the Lord is so heavy on me right now. You know, it's hard to talk. But he comes. He wants to be in control of everything that's going on. And he has a lot of things that he's working in your heart, in your life right now. And so this is the best time to just sit still in his presence, open your heart, and just receive what he's doing. And you think, well, Pastor, aren't I supposed to be listening to you? Well, yes. But it's not what I'm saying. It's what the Spirit of God is saying through me that you need. Okay? I could sit up here and read a dictionary to you. But the Spirit of God would bring things out of that dictionary that speak to you specifically in your life. It's amazing how he does things. And that's what we need to tune in on, just how amazing he really is. Now, today the same Shekinah glory is being manifested in churches all over the world. And it's been happening for a good while right now. And it's the same glory, same Shekinah glory that has come. And the longer that people stay in that glory, the more of God's nature they're going to receive. That nature is going to be developed in them. And as they become more and more like God, then they receive greater strength to overcome every situation in their life, even overcome the enemy. And then sharpen their ears to hear the word of the Lord or the voice of the Lord. And then, of course, we learn how to run faster with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't just hang around and lallygag, you know, all day long. No, he covers territory. And that's what we need to learn how to do, is cover the territory that God has assigned to us and be ministering the kingdom of God everywhere that he sends us, everywhere that he shows us to go. And it's evident that to Paul, and it was evident to Moses and some of the people, that the glory was not just a thrill for them, but it was a substantial part of their lives. In other words, they were learning something sitting in the glory of God. And the one thing that they learned was to become dependent upon that glorious presence of God. And that's what we've been talking about, the dependency that we need with God. And God has designed the same experience for us in this church. And it's here today, and it's working. And we need to just learn how to open up and just receive everything that God is saying, everything that he's doing today. And it's going to change our lives. This whole church needs to move into a place of total dependence upon God. The whole church. That's the reason I've focused on this statement. Whose church is this? Because you need to get it down in your spirit. It's your church. God has assembled this thing together, and you're a part of it. And so don't let the devil steal that away from you. I've talked about this before too. You know, in this church, in this body of Christ, there is such power that can be generated if we will learn how to be in one accord, how to stand in one accord, how to walk in one accord. And excuse me, and there's absolutely nothing that we can't overcome as a church. And we're in a process right now. God's showing us exactly that. They're selling our building, and God says, great, I got something better for you. Amen? Amen? And so we trust Him, we follow Him, and do whatever He tells us to do, depending on Him. And in order to depend on Him, it takes total abandonment to Him. Totally abandoning your life unto Him. And I've found through the years, and I'm sure you have too, it's easy to trust yourself. But the flesh doesn't get you anywhere in the kingdom. And there are times when the flesh will fail you. Boy, have I run into that brick wall many times where I think I've got it all figured out, and then bam, doesn't work. But God will work every time. Every time you depend upon Him, He's going to pull you through and show you how to do it. A few weeks back, we were talking about transition, and this is where we're at. We're in a transition from getting totally out of the flesh and totally into the Spirit of God. And we're going to make it. Because where we're going, we're going to have it. And transition is the event that leads to a radical reformation. A radical reformation. And think about that. Are you radical? Are you? You see, not many people in here are radical. Nobody's jumping up and hollering and saying, you bet, Pastor, I'm radical. Right? But that's what radical people do. They don't call attention to themselves, but they're not afraid to speak out and declare the kingdom of God. And that's what we need. We need to become radical. We need to be transformed into the likeness of the Spirit of God and Jesus. And the revelation that we have in walking in this radical phase, if you want to call it, is that we learn it from the cross that Jesus bore, the cross that Jesus was hung on, the cross where Jesus died. And the cross becomes a transitional place for us. It was a place of transition for Jesus. And if you don't understand that, you need to spend a little time looking at the cross. Because, you know, everybody told Jesus, you don't need to die. You don't need to go on the cross. But He knew absolutely sure that He had to do that. And it's absolutely sure that we have to depend upon the work on that cross that Jesus did to take us into or to transition us into a place where God wants us to be right now. Do away with the flesh and become totally dependent upon the Spirit. And it's only through the cross, through the death of Jesus Christ, that He suffered there. And our identification with that death, that's the way we can translate or we can move from the flesh into the Spirit. Have you ever thought about when Jesus died on that cross, you did too? Bible talks about that. You died on that cross with Him and you were raised up with Him to walk in newness of life. And yet so many of us are still walking in the same old fleshly ways we were back then. So we need to make this transition and ask the Spirit of God, how do I make that transition? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, He said, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." If we're not born of the water and the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so what he's saying here is that we have to come out of that which we were in order to begin walking in the new realm of the kingdom of God. Remember the statement in the Word that says, "Old things are passed away and all things have become new." That's that transition that God is talking about with the Spirit of God. And so our primary goal then is to have Christ's kingdom manifested within our life. Christians are to come to a place where his kingdom is being revealed within us so that the world can see us. And when they see us, they see the kingdom. They don't see our flesh, they don't see our names, but they see the kingdom of God. And that's what the Lord desires. They'll see a manifestation of the love of God, of his joy and his peace that is being revealed through us as we minister to them. Again, the other night in that movie, did you notice how at ease those men and those women were when they were ministering to people? Just the love of God was flowing. And, they kept encouraging the people they were talking to or praying for or whatever, just be still, be quiet. Let God do what he's going to do. And that's what we need to do. I learned that a long time ago when I was in law enforcement. When you stop a violator, you want to speak peace to them. If you get out of the car screaming and hollering at them, you're going to have a fight. But if you begin to speak peace to them and just telling them to relax, that you're going to need to talk to them a few minutes or whatever, it changes the atmosphere of the contact. And it's the same with God. When we come up to people, they're expecting us, okay, here comes a religious nut. And he's going to try to beat the word into me, and I don't want anything to do with that. I've seen that happen, and I don't want it. But you can change the atmosphere and let him begin to see that peace and that joy and that love of God flowing into his life or her life, whoever it is. And that's the way God wants us to function. Now, Isaiah saw this in Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 1. He said, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen in you. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen in you." And the word says that people are going to be drawn to you when they see the glory. In other words, they don't see me, but they see the glory, and it is attractive to them. In the last days, the church is not going to be built by ingenuity or intellect or wisdom or doctrine of men. The church is going to be built by the glory of God. And when people come, they're going to see the glory of God. The church will be built in that manner. And the psalmist in Psalm 127, verse 1, verifies that. He says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." That doesn't mean that as we build it. It means that God has to build the house. And he can build it only by the revelation of his Son in our midst. In other words, we have to back off and let God show us what we're to do, and God builds the house. Again, right now, we're in the process of remodeling a structure, and this doesn't mean that we're building the house of God, even though there'll be a lot of people around here who think we are. But this structure is a place, a building, And it's designed to keep the elements out of that building and then to have a place of comfort for those or the body of Christ who assemble together to come and be in a place. You see, we're not trying to build a church. God is going to build the church over there. We're just fixing up a place where He can come and He can dwell and His glory can be revealed. Amen? First time I walked in that building, that's the first thing I knew in my spirit, that the glory of God's going to be in that place. Amen? So we need to adopt that attitude and know in our hearts, know that God's going to reveal His glory in that place. And it's going to impact this whole city. God is going to establish His reign. We were singing that this morning, you know. But He's going to establish His reign in the midst of the church, in the midst of our church. So we're on the right pathway, okay? So let's don't jump off the boat. We hadn't got there yet, but we're on the right pathway. And we just need every one of us to catch the vision of the glory and commit our lives to seeing this glory manifest in River of Life Church. And it's definite, I feel like, that the glory is going to manifest itself in our worship time. And it won't, I mean, it's not going to say it won't, but I don't think it will manifest in preaching or teaching of the Word of God. Now, these are important, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be preaching and teaching, because we should. That's a part of what God wants us to do, is we educate people. But being in the presence of worship is the pathway of the manifestation of the glory of God. The pathway. In Exodus 33, I think, shared some of this last Sunday, but in Exodus 33, Moses cried out that he wanted to know the ways of God. He wanted to know the ways of God. And instead of God agreeing with him, God turns around and tells Moses that his presence would go with him. His presence would go with him. Let's look at it right quick in Exodus 33, verse 13. Exodus 33, 13. It says, "Now therefore I pray," this is Moses, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way." Show me your way. Now this word, Hebrew word, means a course of life or a pathway of life. A course of life or a pathway of life. So he's saying, "Therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now that course of life or that pathway of life with you, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And here's God's answer. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Now that's interesting. We're taught that God's ways, we learn God's ways by reading and hearing the Word of God. And we do, and it's important that we do that. Yet Moses is saying, God told Moses, he says, "My presence will go with you." And what God is saying to Moses is that pursuing God's glory is very important. And this pursuit, or in this pursuit, you're going to learn my ways. You're going to learn my ways. And after this encounter with God, Moses carried godly authority and revelation. He carried that godly authority and revelation. And these things were not because he was born a great leader, but because he abided in the presence of the Shekinah glory of the Lord. That's what made the leadership in Moses, and that's what will make the leadership in your life and in my life. We need to abide in the glory. Amen? So, let me ask you this morning, will you commit to change your ways, your agendas, your religious mindsets, and start pursuing God's glory? Can you do that? Because basically what that is saying is you're willing to lay everything aside, get your focus set on the glory of God, and then begin to pursue that glory led by the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? Okay. It's going to take some changes in each one of our lives for this to happen. And it's going to take each one of us individually trusting and depending on God. And when we do, we're going to see a manifestation of the glory of God. Amen? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we join with Moses in declaring or asking a question. Lord, show us your glory. Father, I want to see your glory manifest. But I also want to see us come to a place where we can walk in the glory, where we can be in the presence of the glory every day. Father, when you first revealed your glory to Moses and Aaron, you did it away from the camp. But Father, as people began to see your glory dwell at the doorpost of the tent, it said that people would come out of their tents and they would kneel in your presence, or they would try to get closer to your presence. And Father, I believe that same principle is going to be active in this season. When people see your glory, they're going to want to get closer to you. And Father, we have the way. We have the pathway for them to follow. And his name is Jesus. So, Father, I pray for that revelation to come to each one of us. Let us have that burning desire within us that we want to see your glory. Father, thank you for what you're going to do individually in each person in this church, even those that are not here today, Father. Just implant this into their hearts, Father. Let them hear the voice of the Spirit of God declaring your glory to them. And now, Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing and even what's coming for us, Father. We just look forward to seeing great things begin to happen. And Lord, we do. We give you all of the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.